The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
Good morning. You're listening to the Nonprofit Voice with Ron Gold. 2024 is my 50th year in radio, and this year I will be highlighting the people in nonprofits who've been featured on my shows in the past 10 years on 103.9 FM, Long Island News Radio, who've made a difference in the lives of people with disabilities. The Nonprofit Voice is a division of Marketing Works and Event Works. Today's featured agency is Rise and the Spirit of Huntington. And I'm Ron Gold from Marketing Works. The name of the show is a Nonprofit Voice. I also have two other companies, Marketing Works and Event Works. And I want to introduce Mike
Katakis. Yeah,
Katakis.
Not an easy Greek name.
It's all Greek to me. I shouldn't have said that, right? Mike is the executive director of Spirit of Long Island and Spirit of Huntington, right?
Yep, Spirit of Huntington Arts Center,
soon,
yes.
It'll be soon Spirit of Long Island.
Probably, yeah. He's going
Spirit
there.
Of the world.
And Charlie Evdos, who is the executive director of Rise. Congratulations. You've been there how long now?
I've been there for about 8 years now. Can't believe time goes by when you're having fun.
8 years?
Yeah.
I can't believe that. Yeah.
I can't believe it either.
So... When you first came in to Rise, it was called ADD at that time.
And, correct.
And I worked there with your former COO, John McWiggin.
Right.
John is now the executive director of AHRC in Suffolk, and he's, you know, we're all tied in together. And that's the way it is on Long Island with the nonprofit agencies. But Charlie, when you came in, and it was 8 years ago, you looked at ADD and said, I could see a potential here. Am I right? Because what you've done is amazing. From what it was then, and I knew it had potential, that you had the right people behind you, that you had a pretty good board at the time. I don't know if they're still there. It was a while ago. It was 10 years. If you 8 years, it was 10 years for me that I was there. And what you've done is you've changed everything. Well, how did you start?
Well, basically, I was brought in to diversify the business. If Rise, when I took it over, was strictly a residential enterprise, and if we would have maintained that model, we would have closed because the funding wasn't there. We didn't. New York State did not give us a COLA for 10, 11 years. Our ICFs, which are really acute facilities, we also did not get a COLA, which was a cost of living allowance. And our rate is based on 2017 still. So you're talking about a number of years where it's been an issue. It's been agencies can't withstand that kind of pressure, especially a not-for-profit that, you know, you're making ends meet. And I diversified the business and saw opportunity. And when I met Michael, we started a collaboration with Rise and Spirit, and it's been... Up, we went from a $7 million company, we're up to over $35 million now.
You're amazing. Yeah. But there was a time frame between when you took over and you met Mike. What happened there? You went away from the residences and you went into, you have more day habs now, you have more residents yourself.
Well, we have 32 residential sites. What we did, we opened up, it's called the PWW, Programs Without Walls.
Okay.
And the reason why New York State calls it that is they don't pay us for rent. Mm. So that's a nice way to say, we're not paying you for rent, but we'll call it a no-walls program.
Great. So, but they're still square feet. So
yeah, exactly. And what do you do when it snows and rains?
Stand outside.
So have you gotten away from as much of the... where you really needed the state to what you could do yourself, or you still have a lot of needs?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, New York State, if you think back to Willowbrook and Pilgrim State and those psychiatric centers, New York State basically closed those down. They were supposed to take the dollar savings from those operations, and it was called housing reinvestment. And unfortunately, what happened, I think it was in 2003, New York State got into a fiscal crisis. And they stopped funding, and that's when they started slowly cutting back. And Governor Cuomo at the time was willing to cut 50% of the services out there to help make up deficits. And you can't do that with this population.
No. Well, after Cuomo Hochul came in, and she was, I know the first year or two that she was there, there was a nice cola that came out, but that was it. But there was so much that you needed to get that that cola really wasn't as effective as you would have liked.
Absolutely. And the problem, what happened was the inflation was like at 8%. We got a cola of 4%. So we were 4% behind the eight ball again. So it created problems. And living on Long Island, you know, when people were making $12, $13 an hour, you can't do it. It takes our staff, a lot of our staff at the time had to work two, three jobs just to make end meet. So,
well, how has your staff grown? How many people work there now versus what worked there before?
We have about almost 400 employees right now.
Really?
And back then, it probably was about 200. So we doubled the size of the workforce.
So you doubled the size of the workforce, but you've quadrupled the size of the money.
Yes. You know, unfortunately, you have to run it like a business. It's even though the words are not for profit, it's a business, and you have to run it like a business. So.
How did you do during COVID?
COVID was tough. I mean, the overtime was through the roof. Staffing was people weren't showing up. It just made our lives a lot more difficult. Our managers had to go into the houses and help out. But it made us a stronger organization. It really helped us develop into a better organization.
Well, I don't know how many people are still there from when I remember it 10 years ago, but you had a really nice core.
And what's happened over the years, I would say probably about 30% of our staff have been there more than 15 years. So, it's individuals who really care, and that's a difference.
Well, you find that in most agencies that, you know, people that are working in this field, they don't leave. They'll have two or three jobs, but they love this job.
Yeah, they have the passion. I mean, when you deal with the individuals we serve, they're like family. It's just amazing. It really is.
Well, let's talk about the spirit of Huntington. Where did that come from? I remember coming and visiting you, and it was a lot different than it is now.
Yeah, same thing. You know, it's when you start to collaborate with good individuals and good companies like Charlie and Rise, you do rise up, you know, and rising up into better programs, better offerings. And, you know, for us, we literally started in a, proverbially the little old garage, you know, with two kids. My son was one of those individuals. And this art center was at a garage with an instructor. His name was Eric Price. He was on the spectrum. And he taught that first art class in that cold little dingy garage on 25A and Park in Huntington. And it was from those, you know, those two kids that now we service over 500 a week coming through the program. So,
well, how did it get there? I mean, you talk about when I was there and there were two people working there. It was a small operation.
Yeah.
I think it was the Art League. Is that where it was?
No, we were always in the build. Well, we started in that garage and then we moved into what was the old library in South Huntington. And it was there that we started to do a rental. I had owned a advertising and marketing firm for 20-something years, and I kind of left that for-profit world, went into the nonprofit sector, and that really was the catalyst. I mean, because we had been, you know, playing around a little bit for the first couple of years on a weekend, you know, art class or two, and then when I kind of cashed it all in and went all in with the, you know, with the program and with the company, it really did start to double every year, and it's continued to be in that model, you know. So
give me more of an idea about the model, because it's hard to explain that on radio.
No, 100%. But, you know, what really came out of everything is we believe that creative expression transforms lives. When you see that premise and you see that happening every day, the rest of it comes pretty easily. It's just keep offering those different types of creative expression programs. So basically, it's a community art center that Charles and I have developed and at that old library. So you have, you know, four companies coming in together to offer art, music, sculpture, dance, you know, plus all the day programs, all of the life skills that are being taught in that building. And it's just exploded because the opportunity of a place where you could get that education with classes, like, you know, with some of the classes we offer, the vocation, because we have a digital arts program as well, and then you have the recreation, You know, so you like you have one spot where an individual can feel like they're, you know, they're living a full life, you know, and that's what it's all about. So, you know, those programs that started with a little simple art class are now become a whole, you know, life model, which is just amazing. You know?
So you are now in the library in Huntington on Main Street. Was that what was the old?
It's on Melville and Depot Road. So it's about a block from Jericho Turnpike over there. Big brick building, 25,000 square feet. We were renting there. The school district had owned that building, and we were renting, you know, Spirit of Huntington was there. And my agency at the time, the advertising agency, was upstairs.
What was the agency called?
New Media Marketing.
Okay. I just wanted to throw that
out. Yeah, no.
Give you a ha-ha.
Yeah. Well, no, well, those are good memories, but, yeah. You know, they built up the programs of how to run though the business. Like Charles said, you got to run it like a business. If we're going to rely just on donations, we'd all have been out of business, you know? So it's the ability to say, hey, you've got something that makes sense, that population needs.
Yeah.
And whether it's an art class or it's a program, I mean, if it's as simple as a class, then yeah, here's a class, it costs $1 and let's go and do it. And, you know, obviously you get some state support on some of the programs through Medicaid, but for the most part, it is about trying to collaborate with the groups like Rise Life Services and other agencies on Long Island to provide the services, and they're always trying to get their income from, you know, from both local, state, you know, contributions, but, you know, also from fundraising as well. Charles has always been able to see the model a lot different than a lot of the other agencies on Long Island. And that really what separated Rice so much.
He's a different type of a CEO.
He's got a big picture. He gets it. He gets
does.
The concept.
He looks at it.
You have to. And if you're going to just try to stick with the old model, it ain't going to work. It'll eventually implode. And because it's changing every day, you know?
Well, we were also seeing right now that there has been a major change in the executive directors and CEOs. It seems like a lot of the older generation has retired, and people that are taking over now are the younger CEOs, Charlie's age and things. No, but I'm saying there are a lot of younger CEOs who have been COOs for years and years with the same people with their own ideas, and now it's their chance to really get out there. And most of them feel like they should be part of what's happening at the agency, not behind the desk. Yeah. I remember one major agency that had a golf outing, and the volunteer said, oh, that's Mark. He's a CEO. We never met him.
Mm. Yeah. And that's, yeah.
That says
that's
it all.
That's the old paradigm, you know?
Right.
And they were sheltered in. I mean, Charles, you're on the front lines like I am. He's out there every day.
He's got a vest on, you know, bulletproof vest that you can't get to him or something.
But Michael had said that it's the old library. I call it the new library.
Yes.
Because we've taken it and really renovated it and planned further renovations. But the programs themselves are phenomenal. Nobody else has anything like it, and it's just amazing.
Well, I want to hear all about that, but first I want to hear, what was it about Spirit that got you involved?
Well, what happened was self-direction was the key, what New York State was really pushing. They wanted individuals to stay at home because it's cheaper for them for the budget. But I saw that what's happening with the adult programs, they would stay in the cafeteria, they would they really didn't get out as much as they should, and their quality of life wasn't as good as it should have been. And I saw that, and I said, this is what we're going to do. We opened up our program at our center. That was our first one. We have a Century Garden in Northville.
I know that.
Which is, we've put a nice, it's about 10,000 square foot building on it that houses and has streams. We grow our own vegetables. It just the quality of life is so much better. And then when Michael came along and showed me that building, I said, this is a no-brainer. Let's do it. And, I got a lot of flack from my board, but
I know that board.
We fought a lot of boards.
Not easy, but anyway.
No, but that community arts center model was what was so unique. So what the old, again, that old paradigm, you know, when Charles got into this was to put them into four walls and, you know, put the VCR on and walk away, right? And, you know, it's the realization that you have to provide quality services and quality programming, You know, like I always compare it, like Charlie's like the computer and we're like the Intel chip, you know, we're the program. And, you know, you got to have good programs in that computer as well. And I think, you know, the ability for these individuals to come in and not just participate, but end up somewhere in that program is the really the bigger payoff. For example, it's not just do an art class, it's do an art class, do another class, put on a small show, and then at the end of the year, put on a big show, and that's called Artability. And that show had 540 participants in the program that were on display with their artwork. And then they were judged and juried by their peers, by the teachers, by the participants of all the agencies that came in to that show. And that 50 that are selected are then going on tour. And they're in tours in museums, we're in galleries in the city, and we're highlighting inclusion and diversity in the arts. So although, like, you know, arts and crafts are great in other programs, and I'm not taking anything away from that, but we're getting them into museums. I mean, that's a big deal. And yeah. that's a whole nother level of taking what they create and getting it to an end place, you know?
So Artability. Hmm. Was that recently? Is that the one that...
That's the name of the program that does the creative expression. That includes both the, you know, the art, the music, the dance. Our shows are just phenomenal because not only are we putting on an art show, but then we have some of the performers come and they're doing their music. The sculptures are there. I mean, it's just a big deal. And when you start to see this artwork now going on tour, we're at the Nassau County Museum of Art. We're in the Long Island Museum this year. We're in the city at a Gore Gallery in the Chelsea Art District. We just got to Paramount. We're going to be out there as well in Huntington. We're in Heckscher Gardens. I mean, these are things are all just blowing up because everybody wants this tour, this collection of art, because it's so powerful and impactful. Not just because they're special needs individuals, but just because it's crazy good art, you know. And that's really taking things to a whole nother level for accomplishments.
Well, you're not only working with Charlie. I mean, you have other agencies that are part of this?
Yeah, there's another 12. No, it's all collaborative.
I'm kidding.
You know,
kidding.
It's 12. There's about 12 agencies that we work with on Long Island. And I think that is probably the biggest thing that we're seeing. You know, me and Charlie were one of the first pioneers that we've been thinking about collaborating. A lot of the agencies were all working in silos. And now all of a sudden everyone's going, oh, we got to start combining forces, you know, get the economy of scale, work together on legislation, work together on programs and services. So this has been the trend, and there's a lot of other agencies out there that are starting to do that, you know. So, you know, we feel that, you know, not that we're the very first.
What are the local agencies you work
with? I like Life's Work we work with. Mike Bilio's a great guy out there. AHRC, you mentioned them earlier. John over there is great. We work with CP NASA. We do programs with them. You know, we've even moved into recently into mental health programs. You know, so now we're teaching at Pilgrim State. We're teaching at CNG now. We just signed a program with them. We're in a city, TSINY, another organization we work with. So all of these organizations are all realizing the power of creative expression and how that transforms lives, you know.
Well, what you're doing with, and you and I are collaborating with AHRC Suffolk, sure, which is great because we're in there running their events and you're in there running their marketing, and we've seen some of the work that you've done. And, you know, it's great to collaborate. It's not
awesome,
like,
to do that, yeah.
Yeah, and not to have any ego that goes with it and just say, hey, we want to achieve the best thing for the agency. And that's
what it's all about. And, you know, in our programs with Artability, which is all the creative expression programs, what happened is that, you know, I was, again, with that advertising agency, so 20-something years ago. But you keep clients, you know, friends, you're doing friends' websites and all that. And I'll never forget the day, but I was working on a website. It was in the middle of an art class. I was off to the side. And one of the students came over and was like, oh, let me do, what are you doing on that computer? I'm like, no, this isn't fine art. This is digital art. I'm working on a website. Let me see it. He kept trying to jump in there. And eventually I let him onto it and he started moving things around. And I'm like, just when I thought I was out of it, I got sucked back in, pulled back in. And, you know, I realized that at that point that this doesn't just have to be that recreation. It could be vocational. And we started to teach them about digital art. We teach them Adobe Software Suite. I was able to hire the professor at LIU. He came in and set up the whole graphic arts department with all the curriculum minus history and math and all those, but came almost like a BOCES type of a program where they're in there learning how to really do websites, social media, brochures. In fact, we just launched Rise's new website and their whole new corporate ID.
I'm looking at his brochures and his package. You did a great job with it. I like the creative it. I like it being innovative. I don't like things to look the same as they used to be. And it seems that that's what you're doing with his new pamphlet.
Well, we're teaching the kids actually how to do, and you appreciate this from your marketing background, but you know how to do branding exercises. I mean, we're doing projective exercises. We're doing SWOT analysis. You know, we're really getting into the nitty gritty with companies. I mean, with Rise, we had, 20, 30 people in the meeting. So everything from a secretary up to the COO is involved in these branding exercises to say, who are we and what are we and what do we want to be and why? So we get down to mission, vision, and value. I mean, that's where it all starts, right? And then from there, the brand is developed through those words, and now those words mean something, you know?
Do you have a website?
Oh, yeah, spiritofhuntington.com.
And you, pretty simple. Charlie?
It's riselifeservices.org.
.org. Okay. So tell me about suicide. Well, we don't have that much time. We have to take a break. So this is Ron Gold from Marketing Works. The name of the show is The Nonprofit Voice. And I'm with Mike Katakis. How's that?
That was pretty good. That was pretty good.
Spirit of Huntington. And the easy one is Charlie Evdos.
Yes.
From Rise.
From Rise.
All right. Thanks. We'll be back.